Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new ways to improve government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Dick Strasser, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Vice President of the United States Postal Service. Good morning, Dick.
Morning, Paul. How are you?
Good, thanks. And joining us in our conversation is Bill Takas, another PwC partner. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Dick, I'm sure many people are familiar with the United States Postal Service and has received a lot of media attention of late, but perhaps you could describe its missions and its activities for us.
Sure, Paul. It's actually, up until 1972, the Post Office Department was actually an agency that had a cabinet-level secretary as the Postmaster General and was treated just as any cabinet-level agency was treated. It had appropriations and collected its revenues and put them in the general tax funds of the United States. In 1972 was the advent and implementation of postal reorganization, which was probably a very significant move towards corporatization of postal service. In fact, it was one of the first moves in the world towards that more commercial-based model. What essentially the Reorganization Act did was it provided a set of board of governors, sort of a board of directors that are nine presidentially appointed governors confirmed by the Senate, and they're charged with running the organization as a board would. They hire the Postmaster General and the Deputy Postmaster General, who then become members of the board. And the organization is an independent establishment of the executive branch. It's not cabinet level any longer, but it's sort of independent in the sense that we are authorized to collect our own revenues and make our own expenditures, develop our own annual plans, as well as our capital plans. We have authority to borrow and to go into debt. We also are charged with providing services that fulfill the nation's need for mail service. That includes, of course, universal service, and there's an additional 1.6 to 1.7 million addresses that are added to our network every year just by the means of being created as an address. There is no fee for this network. It's now up to about 138 million addresses. The financial charge that the service has, which is particularly unique, is to break even. Essentially, as an analyst once told me, so let me understand this, you're essentially to provide a government service at cost. And I said, yes, it's supposed to, our revenues are supposed to cover our expenditures. And for the 30-some-odd years that we've been in existence, there has been great strides made in the service levels, the quality of service levels, the efficiency of the organization, and it's provided a pretty much self-financed operation for those 30 years.
Well, give us a sense of the size of the Postal Service. How many employees work for the Postal Service, and what type of skills are they? I think we all have a picture in our mind of our carrier, but I know a lot more is done.
Well, we have two categories of carriers, city letter carriers and our rural carriers, and they constitute probably somewhere on the order of 280,000 of our people. We have about 300,000 of in what we call the clerk craft, which are the clerks who support and offer sales at the window, at our retail windows, our post office windows. They're also the clerks in the who sort the mail, sort the packages, get them ready for the carriers for delivery. We have mail handlers in the processing centers, and they're the mail. They're the material handling folks who handle the all of the containers and the large methods of transporting the mail within our units. We have the vehicle drivers. We have a large fleet of trucks. We also purchase over $5 billion in transportation, so it's large in that sense. We have a great force of what we call maintenance, but who are also our electronic technicians to maintain our vast array of automated equipment, which I'd be happy to talk about today. Very pleased with the progress we've made in letter mail automation. And, of course, then we have our supervisors, our first-line supervisors, some 70,000 of those folks added, and added to that the managers, the station managers, the postmasters we have throughout the nation, and those of us who are and management in the administrative functions that create the hierarchy.
Dick, that's quite a scope of operations the Postal Service has. I'd like to change the subject a little bit and talk about your background and how you got to this position within the Postal Service. And I'd like to kind of start with a discussion a little bit about your role and responsibility as CFO of the Postal Service.
Certainly, Bill. My area currently encompasses the finance function, as is traditionally known, the treasurer's function, the controller's function. But in addition to that, purchasing and material management is within our purview at headquarters, as well as information technology. We have the information platform operation, as well as our IT function, all within the umbrella, the broad umbrella, I might say, of finance at headquarters. So it's a fairly large chunk of the enabling functions that support the operations and the delivery of the mail.
And it's very similar to what a private sector CFO would see.
We do have a very similar financial pattern. The board has its own external auditors, which is a topic of interest in these day and age. We
ask the questions.
We have received unqualified opinions from our external auditors for several years now. They are supplemented by the internal auditors, which is the Office of Inspector General. And so we do issue our financial statements, manage our debt, manage substantial cash flows. We take in excess of $100 million in receipts for mail services and money orders every day. And we manage those cash flows. And of course, the Treasury Department is our official lending agency, and we work with them on a daily basis to manage that cash flow and manage that debt.
Well, Dick, you've talked a little bit about your role as CFO, but how did you begin with the Postal Service and how did you get to the position of CFO?
Well, actually, it goes back 33 years ago under the Post Office Department. There was something called the President's Management Intern Program, and I, as a political science major out of undergraduate school, decided that I'd like to see what was available to me under that program, pass the necessary interviews and tests, and was interviewed by a number of agencies. I was interested in the social service agencies, and I was seriously interested in doing something, but the social service agencies had their pick of those who had masters, and I was only walking into the program with a bachelor's. So not that postal was second choice, but I had a vast array of other agencies offer me interviews. When I went for the postal interview, interestingly enough, once the two individuals who were interviewing me decided that they wanted to make me an offer, they asked me what my interest was, if I was interested in employee relations. We had 600,000 employees. If I was interested in transportation, we spent $300 million a year in air, rail, sea, mule to the bottom of Grand Canyon, and transportation. If I was interested in facilities, we had this vast array of post offices across the nation. Interested in finance, back then we had a revenue stream of $9 billion a year. So it sounded very intriguing because they had a program that was 4.5 years in length with rotating work assignments through all these functions, so you could truly become a generalist. And so I signed up not really expecting to make it a full career, but I fell into some pleasant assignments early on and clicked.
During your time at the Postal Service, you spent time in different assignments?
I was, I had the opportunity to work in finance initially, and then I also had an opportunity to be acting postmaster in Walnut Creek, California way back in 72, worked in our western region back in that period of time in the delivery area. Actually worked for Tom Donahue, who was with the Postal Service, who's now president of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, back then. My most renowned assignment was that I ended up working in the new marketing area, and I was the product manager for our express mail service when we introduced it in 1970. And I worked on that for a year and a half with some very, very great people. Looking back, a guy by the name of Buford Knowles, who really drove it through our organization as an acceptance, and we just we were setting the prices and had our own little test bed in order to make it work, and it turned out that it was new class of mail, the first new class of mail since 1913. So that was a great opportunity early on to rotate through the different assignments and gain knowledge about the organization very, very early in my career.
Of all the assignments you've held, what do you think best prepared you for your present job?
I guess I'd have to say it was back in 1980. I had been in customer service and marketing, and then a career Postmaster General, Bill Bolger, created the strategic planning area. And Bill Cummings, who was the first Assistant Postmaster General, called on me to join him in creation of that. And we developed a strategic planning process for the Postal Service in the early 80s. And there was a lot of strategic thought going on, and there was a lot of excellent ideas. For example, letter mail automation was on the early drawing boards. And It was just a matter of congealing that into a strategic plan for the organization. In order to do that, you really had to have gain a strategic knowledge. So I became a real student of the organization, its finances, its background in debt management, and what kinds of things we might need to finance automation and things of that nature. And I think that helped an awful lot towards preparing me for my present role.
Well, that's a good stopping point. It's time for a break. Stick with us as we continue our conversation with Dick Strasser of the Postal Service. In our next segment, we'll ask him how the events of 9/11 have affected the service. This is the Business of Government Hour.